Welcome to another episode of Stokes and Folks. I'm your host, Spencer Stokes, and today we're joined by Leah Murray, Dr. Leah Murray from Weber State University. And give us your official title other than doctor.
Sure. So I'm a professor of political science and the academic director of the Olin S. Walker Institute for Politics and Public Service.
Okay, that's a mouthful. And we have joining us again, who you heard a couple of weeks ago, Devin Weiser, who is the director of the Olin S. Walker Institute of Politics.
That's correct. Good to be here.
I even got the S in there because, you know, whenever there's an S, you got to throw it in there. But that S stands for Smith.
Smith.
Uh-huh. T.O. Smith Elementary, named after her father in Ogden, Utah, so that she has a deep tie to Ogden area and Weber County.
But word is they're renaming that elementary school, sadly. They're trying to get away from people.
Oh, well, you know, we're all doing things that are politically correct nowadays. And, you know, we don't have any Civil War soldiers or generals or, you know, that we have to rename schools. But we do have universities named Dixie, so we have to rename those. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Leah, was your election certification program that Weber State just held up on campus. And I'm sure it was because I view that voter integrity and election integrity, I guess election integrity, is the biggest challenge, I think, facing the United States and facing Utah. And I don't think I've jokingly said we probably have a bigger voter fraud problem in Utah than anywhere else in the country, because we have missionaries whose absentee ballots come to their homes and moms and dads know exactly how their son or daughter would vote. And so they fill out the ballot, sign it, send it in, and then it gets rejected. But nobody believes that's actually fraud in the state of Utah, although it is anywhere else in the country. In the state of Utah, we view that as just an honest mistake.
Right.
Well-intentioned.
Yeah, well-intentioned. But tell us a little bit about this program, because I think it's fascinating and a great idea.
So I think, just to answer some of the things that you said, that elections integrity is one of our major issues, but I also think it's kind of a lack of trust in our public servants, right? And so, right, we're not trusting police, we're not trusting teachers, we're not trusting elections officials. So I do think it speaks to a larger, you don't want to say pandemic anymore, but, you know, this kind of larger kind of deep systemic distrust that our people are having with the people who do the people's work a little bit, right?
Well, and it's probably a distrust in the institutions that we've so often and for so long have trusted.
Right. No, I think definitely. So the Olin S. Walker Institute of Politics and Public Service. So that means we are supporting the people like Olin's father, right, who do education.
Right.
The idea is to instill in our next generation, if not our current generations, an understanding of the role that we all can play in our country, right? We all have an active role to keep this republic. All right. So all of that, like a nice frame for it. People in elections had reached out to me a while back. So this effort predates our last election and when this whole thing became very sexy, right? So, and they kind of reached out because there are institutes across the country located in places like Alabama and Minneapolis where they do elections professional development. There's, you know, lack of a better way of saying it, but it costs tens of thousands of dollars. So we had been approached at Weber State University. We consider ourselves, an anchor institution, a community partner, and all the work that happens up there. And we were approached by Weber County Elections about putting on something that was more accessible to our elections officials in the state of Utah. So the conversation predates any drama. Does that make sense?
I want to
say it goes back. It just happens to have landed. This is when we could do it. So this is when we did it. And so what we basically did was invited all of the county clerks to invite their staffers who run the elections office. I think one of our ideas too is county clerks could also come, right? Because what we learned from our Weber County elections partners was that people who get hired, the huge startup cost, because as it turns out, there's not really like an orientation, right? Like
right. There's training. No, yeah, there's, right. there's no degree in this.
Yeah, there's no yeah. degree in this. And so what we did was asked, what is the most important things you need to know? And we created a program that has, so how we're going to do it is like 3 sessions a year, 2 courses per session. Don't get lost in like the weeds of that.
Right.
And every time we have a session, we'll do something that's like a tool for their toolkit and something that kind of embeds them in a larger conversation. So very specifically, this week on Thursday, they learned system management or process. It was not my field, right? So I gotta be good about it.
You brought in an expert.
That's right. So Mike Dixon, who is a professor at Utah State University's Huntsman School of Business, came down and talked about process, right? And how you do systems management and how you do that work. So actually how you'd run an election from the minute you're starting, right, through the last ballot has been counted. And on Friday, I taught them kind of why voting matters and what the Republic is and kind of big conceptual stuff. Thursday night, we went to see a Raptors game. So they learned like cool stuff that they needed to
and
know.
Had a little fun to boot.
Had some fun because part of it is learning because you don't have a degree in this, but also part of it is building a community of practice so that when you have a very exciting election, you have some colleagues that maybe you could call and say, so this is happening in Garfield County, right? This
right.
Is
how do we do?
Yeah, and who how is we manage?
The, what county was the furthest away that attended?
Oh my gosh. So someone from St. George came.
Okay, so Washington County, yeah.
But we also had San Pete County. We had Garfield County. I apologize.
But we had several rural counties. Yeah.
This is so needed because there is, as you mentioned, there is no course in this.
Right.
It's kind of on the job training.
Right.
And I jokingly, so I started my career out in an elections office. In the county clerk's office in Weber County. And when the whole hanging Chad issue of the 2000 election happened, I knew exactly what had happened.
Right.
It's that nobody had cleaned the votomatics out. And so these little rubber gaskets were full of the previous elections' Chads. So when they voted, and I can show you upstairs because I just recently acquired a 2000 Florida Votomatic and ballot.
I love that you did that.
And so the Chad wouldn't be grasped by the little rubber gaskets that's supposed to pull the Chad out or off the punch card ballot. But there's no training to teach anybody about any of this stuff. It's all hands on.
Right.
And so mistakes, there's the potential for not fraud, but for, we all want to know that there's a chain of custody of ballots once they're dropped off at the county clerk's office. Do all these counties have that and can they show it? Are there always 2 people with them?
Right.
So all these important things. So,
and as you can imagine, I mean, these rural counties did not have the money to spend thousands or tens of thousands to send their election officials back east for training.
Right.
So that's why we thought it was so important to bring it in-house, bring it in-state for the first time.
So then presumably the people who participated in this one will come back for session 2 and session 3.
Assuming. The idea kind of is both evergreen content as well as current content, and that you would always be recertifying. Do you know what I mean? So you'll collect the 10 courses. 10 courses gets you a certification that will have like a cool thing you can put on your email, like all the things that you would have, like the people who do IT stuff and they send you an email that says Microsoft certified, right? So something like that. And then we will be asking, evaluating every single time, what did you miss? What did you need? This election came around in Chad's or something, right?
Right,
what would you need to know? And then we will be flexible as to content going forward. So if someone missed this one, they could come in next time. And I told Mike, I said, so we're like a year and a half from now, we'll go again, right? Or, you know what I mean? And we'll just kind of keep rolling the classes as they need it, you know, forever.
And I would anticipate that you may have people from out of state that decide to start coming to this election certification.
Yeah.
How many institutions do you know around the country that are doing something like this? Or
so, like I said, so the Humphrey, Hubert Humphrey,
right?
That school in Minneapolis, and then
it's exactly like Olin Walker. I mean, just one was a president. But yeah, exactly.
I'm
like
sure
that.
He was just as nice as Olin. I don't know. I met Olin. She's wonderful. Yeah. I don't know about him. But like, and then this center in Alabama. So yeah, so not that many. We actually chatted with people in Colorado, and how Colorado runs it is they run it out of their lieutenant governor's office, and they do training. So this lovely woman who actually had a connection with Olin Walker as well, like she's the that's her job. Does that make sense? Is to travel the state doing training. But we kind of wanted a little less two-hour workshop and a little more deep.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we kind of went a different route than the Colorado route. So I guess I don't know if every state has some variation on that theme, but I only know of those two schools and then Colorado's lieutenant governor.
And I'm assuming that the lieutenant governor came up and spoke to your group.
Yeah.
She is formally in charge of the state elections office. Yeah. So it's her responsibility. So I'm assuming she's endorsed your program or.
Yeah.
Not only that, I mean, they went further and sponsored it. So, I mean, the funding for the program came out of their office. We worked with Justin Lee and several others in the elections office there, and they helped kind of help us get it going. You know, it wouldn't have been possible without their funding. And then of course they supported it by showing up and presenting and just being with us every step of the way.
And in fact, I want to say 4 or 5 staffers out of her office actually attended.
Okay.
So it wasn't just counties, the state legislative, the lieutenant governor's office. As well.
So who were the presenters? So obviously you presented.
So I presented Mike Dixon and then Lieutenant Governor Deidre Henderson.
Okay. Presented. And it's fascinating to me. I thought this had sprung out of this past election cycle, but you've been working on this prior.
Yes.
So
I think a lot of people think that. And so I feel like I always want to lead with no,
like, right.
We are not, I am fully confident in Utah elections officials across the state because I volunteered and I see the work they do. I know who they are and I trust them.
Right.
So I want to be very clear to say this was not in any way me going, I'm suspicious. Right.
Right. Right. So and it has nothing to do. I mean, we certainly weren't one of the states that people were
correct.
Were worried about or that there was a problem here. And for those who might be listening that think we have a big following in the country of Turkey. I don't know why we have
that.
Some people,
that makes
but
me
for
very
those,
happy.
But for those that are listening in Turkey, I think the lion's share of the country now has become convinced, you know, short of the audit that is continuing to go on in Arizona, that there's the election wasn't stolen. I kind of have this as a bright line. If you think the election was stolen, you can't continue to be my friend. And I'll probably get some emails from this saying, okay, I'm going to have to remove you from my friend list.
That's your litmus test.
It's one of, because after working in an elections office and seeing how methodic and painstaking everything is to try to get it right, you'd have to have, because by and large, elections are done on a county by county basis.
That's right.
So in the state of Utah, you have the lieutenant governor who is in charge of elections, but all 29 county clerks are really in charge of elections. So in order to disrupt or create chaos or havoc in Utah, you'd have to go convince 29 of those county clerks to participate. And you know, there are no secrets in politics.
Right.
I had a friend saying the Postal Service is in on it. And I said, so you're telling me that my postman walks by my house and sees, oh, he's got a such and such sign in his yard and I have his absentee ballot. I'm just going to throw it away. And they believed that.
But see, again, Postal Service is another group of public servants that we lost trust in, right? So, but I think you're totally right. And what I found very hard this year, and I, like I mentioned teachers and I mentioned police officers, I mean, it's like to every group, right? When you know elections officials, like they caught a lot of flack that was not deserved, right? Like, so they were catching emails. And it wasn't just we're no longer friends. It was like, you're a horrible person and they've done nothing wrong but do their job.
And what I found is, I mean, every county clerk really attempts to try to make sure that your ballot is counted in this world of absentees. So if they get a ballot that comes in and they find that it has a a problem. Maybe the signature doesn't match.
Right.
They'll attempt to reach out to that person to say, hey, we have a problem with your ballot. This is what's going on. Can you cure the problems we have with your ballot,
right,
to make sure that they're counted?
And the thing I would add, and I can only say this to Weber County, but Weber State University, we have a ballot box on our campus, and 731 ballots came into that ballot box. And we had registered students on campus, and we registered students in 21 states, right? So we were helping students figure out how to absentee ballot if they were, you know, athletes from another state.
Right.
Right. Okay. And the number of students put their ballots in that box that were for, so the county clerk,
other states.
And so they mailed them. So into our county clerk came 11 other states' ballots, like a certain number.
Sure.
They said, I think the furthest they might have gotten was Hawaii, but don't. I wouldn't testify that in court,
but they thought that was a general drop off, like a postal.
Right. So like Weber State made this available, so I'm going to put it here. And so our county clerk mailed them. Could have very easily just shredded it.
Right. Said it was, yeah.
Right. And so to me, that's just evidence of what you were just saying. You know what I mean? They are not in any way bad actors, right?
There's
so they are
3,000 counties approximately across the country, and so it would be very difficult to. Plus, you know, in this day and age of technology and digital, data, you know how many people are registered in a county. You know how many people are registered in a precinct. You know how many people are registered in a state. So it's very easy to quickly ascertain, did more people vote than are registered?
Right,
I mean, it's easy to do that. Is the percentage out of whack? But I do believe that these kinds of programs are going to have to be created throughout the country. And I believe that at some point there's going to have to be a federal group that kind of does a random sample of auditing so that people begin to rebuild their trust in the institution.
Right.
The main institutions that, I mean, religion is under fire. Our government is under fire. Homes are, I mean, the institutions that we've all kind of held in check, or we've looked to for guidance and information, are really, as you mentioned, are under fire, and people have kind of are losing trust in them. So
we have some work to do.
Yeah, we have work to do. And I think this is a great program. And by the way, I think it sets you aside from other political institutes in the state. And now you've got this under your belt. I'm assuming that it will only grow and be utilized by others.
That's what we're hoping. We have funds guaranteed for a year of this programming, and then we're hoping, you know, possibly the state legislature will step up next general session and help us out and continue that funding.
That's so.
So if any of them are listening,
what type of funding? How much does this cost to have as an ongoing program?
So we got $25,000 for the year for three different sessions of two classes each.
Okay.
It's a lot more affordable for each county than it would be if they
So they can come free of charge to this.
No.
They,
so what was discussed was we felt that, you know, and I'm who I am. So I was like, make it free for everyone.
Right. Right.
And they were like, no, because really we need buy-in, right? So the worry is if you just kind of make it free for everyone, people would just register.
Right, not show up.
Right. So it's $100 for the session. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Basically 50 bucks a course, which didn't cover anything.
Right.
It's a steal of a deal.
Well, you have to bring in the speakers. You have to,
right.
I mean,
yes.
Cover all of those expenses. And
yeah.
And then is the curriculum going to be, do you ever envision like recording some of the?
So we did record it.
Okay.
And like I said, we have to figure out, you know, so if I'm someone who paid to come, I have to be careful about what I let content-wise out, right, to people
sure.
who maybe didn't pay. So I think as we maybe get some distance, you know, kind of it's a little bit older or something, we'll have to figure that out. But the plan is to make the stuff available.
Can I also offer a suggestion?
Yes.
That you run a course that talks about what goes into doing an election for the general public so that I, as a citizen who lives in a foxhole someplace or in my bomb shelter, and I came out and I said, Dominion has stolen this election, that they can see what goes into. I mean, a lot of people don't know that it's 3,000 different counties doing this.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to have, a logical conversation with somebody when the very basics are not understood how their ballot is processed, what happens to it after they cast the vote.
No, and I like that you asked this question. So we actually at Walker offer continuing education courses. So last fall, we actually did a class on the elections and talked about that work. And this coming fall, we're doing a class on public servants, right, and kind of the work that they do. So we're going to take the students to an elections office. Right.
Okay.
And spend like a couple hours in that office. Like, how does this thing work? But not just elections. We're also going to go to the sheriff's office. Right. And talk about how they do their job. So we definitely have a plan to offer. And those are free. Does that make sense? Because continuing is just anyone wants to take it and offer these courses again, trying to build trust in the work that I think Governor Walker really cared about. So
we're excited to see you register for that course.
Yes, exactly. Well, and it's appropriate because Olene Walker was Lieutenant Governor of the state for many years. And so it's appropriate that her institute is doing election training. Mm-hmm. I think that sets you apart from other institutions.
Yeah, I had Governor Walker in my class once teaching years ago. And the story she told my students, she was a UN election watcher. I'm not sure what the right word is. She told, I was like, this is the best thing ever. So I feel like if the first thing we were going to do, it was going to be about making sure elections were secure, because I knew she had traveled abroad to do that work. Right. So,
well, hey, thanks for attending. Thanks for being here at the Political Underground. And let me just say, as a plug for Dr. Leah Murray, two of my daughters have had Dr. Murray and they love Dr. Murray and her classes. So it's a shout out to you.
Thank you. And your
professionalism and your teaching ability. So anyhow, we in the Stokes house love Dr. Leah Murray. Questionable on Devin, but we love Devin as well. So this has been another edition of Stokes and Folks. Like us wherever you get your podcasts, and we hope that you'll tune in and listen to us next week.